guys, the players bounce back after the goal was called back in the third period
yesterday? Yeah, I thought our whole third period was really quite solid, you know, and probably the best skating that we had done, certainly from the first. We had a good jump there. Yeah, I was probably the only guy that lost my composure. The bench was good. The coach had lost his mind, but the bench was good.
How do you treat this many days now in between games? Is this almost like a training camp round two or a mini version of it?
You know what? It's actually longer than training camp, right? You never get 5 days. So we've felt that in our last, let's say, five games, there's been a lot of good things to it, but we'd like to try to play a little faster here, so we're going to use it to kind of really focus in on that. Cut the duration down a little bit and try to get really as high a pace as we can in every single drill, so we'll keep our drills real simple and focus on that speed now. It's hard to do sometimes in training camp because you got systems work and you wanted to get the grinding in and you want to get the battling because they haven't done it all summer. We feel we can transition into more speed work here.
And then I guess you get right into the teeth of your schedule once you get going again.
Well, yeah, week. You know what? And everybody's got it 5 days off and then every second night for a couple months. So be good healing time. So both Kulikov and Hendricks were in a normal sweater today. So they look like if they can get through their week, they'll get their conditioning up. They'd be available for us. We're hopeful to get Lowry on the ice Monday possibly. And we'll see where he's at moving forward. But all the other bumps and bruises that you carry the entire year, a 5 day block gives you a chance to get that all healed up.
What can you tell us about Scheifele and Mathias?
Yeah, both, I would say, you could have practiced today. They're 100% for Monday.
What are you seeing in third periods? I mean, we talked a lot about the second period issues, but what are you seeing in third periods from your group, especially in your wins so far? Any trends sticking out in terms of finishing games strong?
You know what, I think the urgency of the third period, whether we've had leads or a lot, have driven us kind of back to our game that we see a lot in the first. Second period's interesting. We give up the fewest amount of shots in the second of the two periods, you know, but we're loose in those periods, right? We have higher risk plays happen. So we own those numbers in the second period, that for sure. But I think it's just a matter of, you build confidence in your game of a certain style, and we were pretty close to that style in the third and in the first, and off it quite a bit in the second period. For an offensive group, guys that like to score goals, I thought we got up to nothing and got a little bit loose with it. We came out of being direct with the puck and slowed our game down, and that gives the other team a chance to get going a little bit.
I mean, a lot of things happened on that first goal, but the dumping that doesn't get deep started the whole play, right?
Right, so we have from the blue line to the tops of the circles in the offensive zone, that was the third event where we made a play that we wouldn't like. Right, two off rushes where we didn't put the puck at the net, where they had good coverage. So I've told this team that I never bark at them on a two-on-one really or a three-on-two about what to do with the puck. They were good players. They can make those plays. But in even man and certainly underman situations that we found ourselves, we didn't make great decisions. And then we were trying to create that offense from the hash marks to the blue. There's a time to do it. It's usually after you've created enough chaos. But that only happens when you move very quickly. Like Mickey made almost the exact same play earlier and drew a penalty on the play and we score a goal off it. So it's not, the idea is not bad. It's almost the pace of what we were doing it with. We slowed our game just a bit down and that's how that first goal goes in.
It was almost like he fanned on it.
Right, it's a chip. It's a chip probably to Patty, but that one needed to go down the wall or hard to the net in that specific situation. There are other times to make that play and we've seen him score goals on it. So it's just, and he's not the only one. There are other guys doing it, but this is just the progress and the process of young players, you know, when to eat and when to pull away from the table. And when you score a couple, you feel like we can score on every play.
Obviously, Laine had the two goals, but 10 shot attempts. His game was a lot different yesterday.
He was quicker, for sure, right from the early part of his game. So much of the final act of finishing a play or the offense that we really like to see doesn't come from great finish. It comes from the start where you have speed and you've generated a gap. You know, you've created an extra foot of ice to play on by something that's happened 5-10 seconds earlier, the chaos that's created by playing simple and playing fast.
Is that something you needed to talk to him about?
The team, specifically, but the team as well. I mean, where, you know, Blake had 7 shots last night, I think, on goal. The whole group, a little more direct in area, and at the times where there's really nothing there, will open up more plays that those guys are good at finishing.
That first goal, Paul, that was like in Lenny's skates, and he still got it off, and it was a hard shot. Not many guys can do that, right?
No, we slowed that down. Look, he dug, you know, it's almost like he's digging it, right? But it comes off his stick with so much heat. That's the big piece of why he's just different than everybody else. He can get a shot to the net with a lot of pace to that shot from anywhere on his body.
He called it a muffin. We all think it's a rocket, and he thinks it's a shot that he didn't even hit.
Well, it might be accurate for him, right? He didn't get all of it. He just gets it to the right spot. No, he's fired some heaters here in practice that move everybody. When he's teeing that up, I have no problem with everybody leaving the front of the net. It's safer for the goaltender, safer for everybody.
You talked a lot about the defense competition. You see the forward competition amping up with a couple of
starting to.
Guys.
I would like to, you know, we got guys coming back in. We got to get to be harder on that bottom six. And a couple of guys coming back in, and I like Brendan's game.
Well, the Morrissey-Trouba pairing, you know, you just look at the raw stats as they're your two lowest plus minus guys. Yeah. And last night, maybe a couple tough shifts for them. What's your take on them? They're obviously playing the big matchups. Yeah. And
got lit up early in the first two games, so that went sideways for Jake pretty quick. And they have a big responsibility with that matchup. They're going to grow into it and get better at it. There are nights that they've handled it really, really well, and some nights maybe that they've struggled with it, but that's a job that we're more likely, if we don't like it during game, to switch it, but not have a change their eventual role. They both need to play that role.
Do we almost take them for granted and forget maybe that they're still both very young players?
Well, for sure. I mean, Mo's in his second year. We play him against the other team's best, and he's been really quite effective at it. Jake's had a little bit more kind of up and down as play his game in Edmonton. Might be as good a game I've seen him play. And he's been solid. So kind of like our team, 4-3, some good, really good ones and some ones we'd like back, but moving in the right direction.
Last one from me. This is more of a stylistic question about power plays, not just your team. I see every team, it seems these days, looks similar. The drop pass has become sort of the new thing where you get to center and you drop it. Can you just explain from a technical aspect what that play is about and why it
You would see it, you know, more in European hockey years back. The team that first used it to great effect was Vancouver when they went to the finals that year. I mean, they basically won their first three playoff rounds on the drop. They just killed teams on their power play until they played Boston, and Boston just decided to let them drop the puck, let them gain the zone, and they wouldn't be out of position. What it does is that the drop sets everybody at the blue line, and it pushes everybody back, and then you're standing still with two guys with a tremendous amount of speed. The bigger change that you're seeing is in zone. You're seeing more players on the flanks on their natural sides. Detroit used that a few years back quite a bit, and now you're seeing a bunch of teams. So you see Blake Wheeler on the right side of the ice on his natural side, not on the one-timer side, and then kind of driving things down to the net where you've got four guys collapsed at the net, something Montreal did really well a few years ago when Saku Koivu was there running it. You've got to be right on that one, and you've got to handle that puck right. If not, you're going to see more shorthanded goals and shorthanded rushes. But those are the big changes. We're running the drop now more consistently. We didn't do it with one unit last year. We did it. And it was, you know, pretty important for two of those goals last night to be able to drive it down and hit the seam, and then one just a bump back to Patty, which is the design play, right?
I guess like anything, eventually teams figure it out, and then it's time to look for a new twist.
Right, the drop is going to be kind of risk-based. You'll see teams, I think, get away from the drop when they have the lead. There is a bit of risk, because if you attack those two guys coming late, you can break something loose sometimes, but it'll be here for a while.